broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that it refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for October the 19th, the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour 2 of 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, hard-hitting commentary on your radio. And I'm by myself today, nevertheless. We're talking about impeachment, and 15 Republican senators are literally talking about impeaching the Donald. Talked about him last hour. Lamar Alexander, Roy Blunt, Richard Burr, Susan Collins, Mike Crapo, Joni Ernst, Cory Gardner, Charles Grassley, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, Marco Rubio, Ben Sasse, John Thune, Patrick Toomey. Those are the guys. But I submit that an impeachment trial will not happen. Okay, because first off, the impeachment trial of President Trump could keep Democratic presidential candidates who are also senators off the campaign trail for weeks, folks. All right, they're not going to do it. You think they're going to do that? You think they're going to just stay off the campaign trail for weeks while they're trying to run for president, all these guys? Okay, they don't want their bids to end. So that's one problem. The other problem is Rush Limbaugh and others are highlighting the facts about this as well. The Democrat House will never vote to impeach Trump. Why, you ask? Well, Rush talks about it. He said, look, what if all of a sudden the Republicans, well, in the House, made a big stink. The Democrats pushed. They drew up articles of impeachment, got all that done, delivered it. It passed the House. Or what if it fails the House? If it fails the House, they get an egg on their face because it doesn't even get out of the House, much less the Senate. But if they pass it, right, which maybe the Democrats could pass it in the House. They got the majority. They could get it done probably, right? But then what would happen is the Senate would get it, right? They're not going to get 20 in the Senate, though. And if Trump's acquitted, that's horrible news for them, right? Right? If Trump's acquitted, that's the worst thing that could happen for the Democrats. Okay? Because then what would happen is even if it left the House now it's going to tie up all the senators on the campaign trail. And now the Republicans could hold it and mock the House with it, saying you've passed it, but we don't see any evidence. It's very political divisive at this point, right? So what the Democrats want, they don't want to really impeach. They say they want to because they want to appear like they're in charge of it, like they got the political narrative and the moral high ground here. But they don't want to really put up articles of impeachment, pass it in the House and send it to the Senate because the Senate will dismiss it. See, the Democrats want the accusations, the innuendo, and the secret testimony to continue. They want this to go on all next year. The minute they have a vote, though, and then the minute they go to trial on this thing, the minute they send it over to Mitch McConnell and the other Republicans, right? So they're not going to do it. Well, believe it or not, Rush Limbaugh's right on this, right? Donald's right. I'm sorry. Rush Limbaugh's right on this. So Rush Limbaugh says, folks, this is purely politics. This is raw politics. This is not about crimes. And this is the salient point. I think Rush is spot on right on this. And you're like, Sam, why are you quoting Rush? Because I don't have an agenda. I'm not a rock star where Rush is a threat to me. Okay, I don't care about any of that stuff. I want to highlight the things that are right and bring them to your attention. Okay, the Democrats' ultimate objective, by the way, said Rush Limbaugh, is to overturn, right, the 2016 election. They want to reverse the 2016 election. That's what they're talking about. That's all this has ever been. That's what it remains today. Okay? They say that Donald's an embarrassment to the country. He's destroying the country. But it's not that at all, folks. The fact is, they cannot stand the fact that they were beat. It's about the fact that they haven't been able to get rid of the Donald yet. Every day that they don't get rid of the Donald and every day they can't pin the tail on the donkey is every day they look more and more and more extreme and foolish. And they know it. So they want to try to hold that moral high ground in the court of public opinion through, in my opinion, distraction and deception. Limbaugh's right. Anyway, I bring that up because I think that's a critical discussion point. Right? All right. Although I defend Donald against impeachment because I don't believe it's warranted and I don't think we have the pay dirt. I don't think we have the facts. Okay? I don't think we have the details necessary. I don't think we have the pay dirt to do this. Okay? I really don't. But even if we did, they're not going to do it. Limbaugh says Democrats in the House will never impeach Trump. What if Trump's acquitted? Right? That's the worst thing. They don't want that. They don't want that at all. That's the worst thing that could happen for the Democrats. Right? All right, now. I'm defending Donald against impeachment because I don't think that it's warranted. I really don't. I don't think it's justified. However, I want to focus on things that are important. And I'm always willing to defend the president when he deserves defense. But I'm also willing to tell you when the president is wrong. And that's one thing that these partisans will not do. They're going to say if they hate Trump, if they're a Trump, never Trumper, or a hate Trumper, Trump's always wrong. Doesn't even matter when he does something good, they won't support him or give him any credit. Right? They don't do that. But the defenders of Trump are so in love with Donald that they'll defend Trump no matter what. And see, I think both of those are dishonest and wrongheaded. It becomes more about party and more about politics than it does about honesty. I submit that honesty is the issue. Right? And I submit that we can't pick sides here. We can't, you know, just get into partisan politics because that just foments the divide. We got to protect the good old boy network, or we got to, stay with our own. Okay, that's all bogus. What I need to do is hold the moral high ground. What I need to do is not play politics and not pick sides. What I need to do is analyze behavior and say when behavior's good and behavior's bad and highlight that every time. What I need to do is talk about when policies are good and talk about when policies are bad every time. Because then I'm not attacking individuals, right? Then I'm not trying to pick sides. Then I'm not playing partisan politics. Then I'm not required to compromise my morality or my integrity or my honesty on any of these, quote, altars. I can stand independent. So I've been defending the president against impeachment because I don't think they're going about it in the right, honorable, transparent way. And if they really have impeachment, serious concerns with justification, if they really have probable cause, then draw it up in an article of impeachment, vote in the House, deliver it to the Senate with the facts, and let the process happen directly, quickly, and efficiently. But if you don't have it, quit dishonestly talking about it and playing games. Okay? And I think the Democrats are losing on this because I don't believe Americans want Trump impeached. They might not agree with Donald on everything, but the longer the Republicans agitate and try to expose, the worse it gets for them. All right, I bring that all up to say I defend Donald against impeachment because I don't think they're honorable in this. Okay, and I've highlighted that for an hour now, almost. What I want to talk about now is where I disagree with President Trump. What I want to talk about now is where I disagree with President Trump. President Trump has talked about draining the swamp forever, has he not? But Donald Trump is not draining the swamp, folks. Okay, I just want to acquaint you with the facts. Okay, I'm not picking sides. I'm not attacking the Donald. Again, I always want to focus on behavior or policy. And the behavior is Donald makes you believe he's draining the swamp and putting the good guys in everywhere, but he's not doing that at all. So I'm going to expose the lie right here, right now. Donald Trump nominates Dan Brulette to be the next Secretary of the Department of Energy following the departure of Rick Perry. Well, first off, Rick Perry was an insider for a long time. He's been, what, Texas governor? You might like the guy. That's up to you. But to suggest he's an outsider, not an inside swamp monster, is wrong. He's been in government for a long time. Governor of Texas, straight to Washington, with the Donald. Okay, but Brulette, by the way, the guy that he's replacing Rick Perry with, even if Rick Perry wasn't a swamp monster himself, which he is. So one swamper out, the new swamper in. The revolving door continues is the salient point. But Dan Brulette, folks, who is this guy? After the break, I'll tell you. Dan Brulette is like, wow. He's already been with the president since August 2017. He's been the deputy secretary of the department since August 2017. So 2 years with the Donald, a little over already, right? But just who is this guy? I'll tell you. He's a massive swamp monster. I'll tell you in seconds on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, back with you live. So I defended the Donald for a long time now. I'm going to now bring up the other side of the discussions. Donald Trump nominates Dan Brulette to be the next Secretary of the Department of Energy following the departure of Rick Perry. But Brulette, he has served as the Deputy Secretary of the Department since August 2017 with the Donald already. All right, this guy's a Louisiana native, and he boasts a long resume in energy circles. He served as the Assistant Secretary of Energy for Congressional and Intergovernmental Affairs under former President George Bush's administration. Okay, this guy was in the George Bush administration. That tells you plenty. He was a longtime congressional staffer even before that. All right. Now they say new energy chief. A familiar role. What role is that? That of lobbyist. Yeah. Dan Brulette has been a big time lobbyist. Trump likes to claim he's draining the swamp, folks, but it's not true. Increasingly, though, his cabinet is full of lobbyists. Dan Brulette, ladies and gentlemen, spent much of his career as a, quote, senior vice president of the United Services Automobile Association. By the way, that's a financial services company. So again, the revolving door from finance to politics to government to... He also was at the Ford Motor Company for a long time. Trump's rhetoric about draining the swamp, folks, I don't think so. I don't think anyone even took it seriously, said Tim LaPira. Right? Wow, there you go. That's a problem for President Trump. Right? Now, this guy, Tim, that I'm speaking of, wow, this guy, he says, I don't think anybody took seriously the... I don't think anybody took seriously this idea to drain the swamp. Said Tim LaPira, he's a professor of political science at James Madison University, who spent studying the revolving door in Washington. Now, listen to me, folks. A ProPublica and Columbia Journalism Investigations analysis this week found that Mr. Trump brought in 281 former lobbyists since the start of his administration. So, you know, you bring in 281 lobbyists, what are you doing? If you get rid of 281 swamp monsters and you bring in 281 lobbyists, you're about sixes, right? Believe it or not, Donald Trump's cabinet includes a former coal lobbyist running the Environmental Protection Agency, a former oil and gas lobbyist in charge of the Department of Interior, a top lobbyist for the defense contractor Raytheon, leading the Defense Department, and if he's confirmed now, a, quote, automobile lobbyist at the Energy Department. See, this isn't draining the swamp, folks. Right? I mean, what gives of that? So that's the bottom line. Sadly, Donald Trump isn't getting rid of these people at all. Right? There you go. Trump's rhetoric about draining the swamp? I don't think so. Right? That's the problem. It's bogus. It's a dishonest narrative. So I'm not trying to attack President Trump, but I am trying to say I'm not going to go along with that. Right? I'm not going to go there. Meaning I'm not going to ignore this. That's what I mean. I don't want to defend President Trump over this. Mr. Trump brought in 281 former lobbyists, folks, while he's telling you, hey, we've got to drain the swamp, man. We're making progress. We're getting it done. It isn't true. Okay? I would like to know, and I'm in the big circles of liberty, right? I'm in the circles of patriotism. I'm in the circles of constitutionalists. I mean, I hang out with folks like Dr. Scott Bradley, who has literally fought for liberty, has a PhD for 30 plus years. Now, he might come back and say, Sam, it's been more like 40. I understand. Who has written a collegiate series called To Preserve the Nation. It's on book and DVD, and it's classroom material, collegiate material for homeschoolers and such. This guy literally has been around forever and he knows the Constitution like nobody's business. Right? Okay, those are the kind of people that, President Trump should be putting in place. But I don't see it. I see just another swamp monster lobbyist getting put in place over and over and over to where it makes you actually nauseous. Literally makes you nauseous. I mean, it's shocking. And frankly, it's scary. Now, here's the problem with Trump. You're either a love Trump all the way defender, Trump can do no wrong kind of a person, or you're a hate the Donald and never Trump or do no, you know, never give Donald any credit for any good that he's done. How many people are like me that say, look, I don't like or hate Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a child of our Father in heaven. He's a son of Almighty God, just like the rest of us. And I hope he makes wise choices in his life. If he does, he'll receive blessings. If he doesn't, he's going to lose a lot of those blessings. And I don't want to attack Donald personally, but on a behavioral point of view, on a policy point of view, I want to defend Donald when he gets it right, based on the supreme law of our land, the Constitution, based on God, family, and country, based on the protection of life, liberty, and property. And when Donald gets it wrong, I don't want to beat him up, but I want to basically highlight the truth. Okay? And that's why I've defended the Donald on impeachment, but that's why I'm going after the Donald on this dishonest lie about Dan Brulette. Don says Dan. Wow. That could be a seashell story, couldn't it? Don says Dan is a consummate professional. But this guy's been in government his whole life, serving in the Bush administration. The revolving door of being on congressional staffs, then being in the Bush administration, going back and forth from lobbyist to government official with the Trump administration for 2 years already. This guy's not a good guy. I'm concerned that Donald Trump even says that kind of stuff. But I've got to highlight, in my opinion, the dishonesty from President Trump on this. This guy is not draining the swamp and a good guy. Now, I'm not saying he's the worst guy in the world. There's way worse people. But it's the narrative that I'm challenging. This idea that we're draining the swamp when we're not. Right? That's the problem. Okay? That's the problem. Okay? I mean, this guy worked for George W. Bush for a long time. Now, does that mean he's the worst guy in the world? No. His spouse is named Adrian. He's got 9 children. He went to the University of Maryland at College Park. He was born in 1962. Right? I mean, it's just a shame. This guy has, in my opinion, very concerning situation. Okay? He's originally from Louisiana. He graduated from the University of Maryland. Now, listen, following his service in the United States Army, Brulette served as Representative Billy Tozen's legislative director from 1989 to 1987. 1989 to 1997. So 8 years as a congressional staffer. Then 1997 to 2000, he was a senior vice president of R.W. Wall Associates. Then he was an assistant secretary for congressional and internal government affairs in the U.S. Department of Energy. That happened from 2001 to 2003 under Bush. He then served as chief of staff under Billy Tozen and was also staff director for the House Energy and Commerce Committee. We'll tell you about this guy more, okay?
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney may have muddied things up when it comes to President Trump's impeachment inquiry. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy believes Mulvaney made things clear at his press conference on Thursday.
There was no quid pro quo.
Fellow Republican Congressman Francis Rooney doesn't see it that way at all.
It's certainly quite clear right now that the actions were related to getting some of the Ukraine to do some of these things.
In other words, Rooney says it appears there was a quid pro quo, which is the very issue that led to the current House impeachment inquiry. Career diplomat George Kent told congressional investigators Rudy Giuliani asked the State Department to grant a visa to former Ukrainian official Viktor Shokin, who Joe Biden had pushed to have removed when he was vice president. This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges. Charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
NBC says it won't reopen its investigation of Matt Lauer. USA's Chris Barnes has more.
The former Today Show host was fired in 2017 after sexual misconduct allegations. Now a new book from Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Ronan Farrow has brought up questions about how NBC handled the incident. The book claims that disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein threatened to expose Lauer if NBC did not quash Farrow's own reporting on Weinstein's sexual misconduct.
Chicago's mayor says the police superintendent told her that he had a couple of drinks with dinner the night he pulled over his vehicle because he felt lightheaded and needed to rest. Superintendent Eddie Johnson also says he recently changed medication and felt sick as he was driving home early on Thursday. He was found slumped over, asleep at a stop sign with the engine running. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so we're looking at this Dan Burlett guy. Donald tells you he's a consummate professional, but he's a swamp monster. He's been with Billy Tozen for a while as chief of staff. All right. He was also chief staff director for the House Energy and Commerce Committee from 2003 to 2004 when Tozen chaired the committee. Burlett was involved in crafting provisions included in the Energy Policy Act of 2005, specifically related to the Energy's Loan Guarantee Program and federal authorization of import and exportations of natural gas. From 2004 to 2006, Burlett was the vice president at Ford Motor Company, running the company's domestic policy teams. He also served on Ford's North American Operating Committee. In 2006, he was hired as head of public policy and senior vice president at United Services Automobile Association, which offers financial services for individuals and families that served in the military. So he goes, hey, to the military, to being on staffs of Congress members, to being in charge in the Bush administrations in many ways, to the auto industry. Then he comes back from an auto car manufacturer to move into this now new role where he basically helps with the United States military and those guys getting loans, right? Then Brulette also served as a member of Louisiana's State and Mineral Energy Board from 2013 to 2016. Again, more government service on the state level. On April 3rd, 2017, President Donald Trump announced that he would nominate Brulette as United States Deputy Secretary of Energy in the Department of Energy. Brulette was confirmed by the U.S. Senate and was sworn in all in 2017. Right? And this is a problem. Now, in his personal life, him and his wife are both Army veterans. They're the parents of 9 children. They live in San Antonio, Texas now. You comfortable with this guy? Now, I'm not saying this guy's the worst guy in the world. Okay? So I'm not here to attack Dan. I don't know Dan personally. So I'm not talking about him as an individual. But if you think that this guy has not been in government for literally his whole life in the revolving door, straight into the military, then back and forth in big business as a lobbyist, and working for government his whole life, and Donald wants you to believe that putting this guy in place is going to drain the swamp? Let me see here. Rick Perry, was he the swamp, and we're going to drain it with Dan? See, that's the narrative that I have a problem with. And you say, well, that's no big deal, Sam. That's just one example. Come on. Neither Rick Perry nor Dan are swamp guys. These are good guys Donald's putting in. But Trump's rhetoric about draining the swamp, folks, I just don't think so. Okay, when you look at a ProPublica story, and I know they're liberals. When you look at Columbia Journalism, I think they're liberals too. But they found that Mr. Trump brought in 281 former lobbyists since the start of his administration. Now, you can say, well, that may not be factual, Sam, and you can't trust that. Okay, fine. But I told you that I've been in the circles of conservative values, of liberty, of constitutionalists for literally near 3 decades now. And I'm telling you that I don't know a single person that Donald Trump has put into his administration that I have confidence in that's not a swamp monster. Nobody. Now you'd say, wait a minute, Sam, what about Ben Carson and a few others? You know, Ben's a nice guy, and I like Ben, and his personal story is tremendous about how he came out of poverty and came out of hatred and became a Christian and learned to make something of his life and became a surgeon. His story is incredible, and I commend him for that, and I think he's a good person. But I don't know that he knows enough to stop the swamp, right? So let's talk about an interesting political game that Donald Trump is playing that kind of highlights my point. Donald likes to play fast and loose with the facts. So does Mitt Romney, by the way. So Donald and Mitt, on one hand, are best friends, and at the other hand, at each other's throat, literally off and on every other second. And it reminds me of a soap opera, to say the least. Shame on both of them for that. But I'm going to defend President Trump in that, hey, he's done a lot of good. Right? All right, well, a lot of people criticize President Trump. And President Trump criticizes a lot of people. But this soap opera, on and off again, hate-love relationship seems to be the case with Donald and just about everybody. Now, Mike Pence hasn't challenged Donald, so there's nothing to fight about. But guys like me who challenge the Donald will hate on me and attack me and hit back hard and the next day be my best friend. And I'm concerned about that behavior. The Democrats have a point on this. That's not loyal. Donald Trump is supposedly big on loyalty. But man, when you look at all the people that he's brought in and praised as just incredible people, top-notch professional people, and then they leave disgraced. Steve Bannon's one of them. And he praised Steve Bannon as kind of a consummate outsider, drain in the swamp, great guy. But then when Steve left, hey, Steve's the bad guy, huh? Donald's the good guy, of course, but Steve's the bad guy. See, I don't buy that. I don't accept that. Right, well, there's a guy that's been battling with Donald Trump, kind of like a Mitt Romney even, for a long time. Who is he? Ben Sasse. Senator Ben Sasse, they say, is the rare Republican who has never been shy about criticizing President Trump, right? And I think that's, to a great degree, true. Now, he's an author, a professor, and a former university president with a doctorate in American history from Yale. So Ben is not a slouch himself. Now, the bottom line is that Donald literally mocked Ben Sasse's looks and said, you look at this guy, and how do you think this guy could even be a senator? How the heck did he get elected? Look at him, mocking his looks. Which, again, this is where I say, Donald, it's wrong to do that, sir. But Ben Sasse wrongly attacking Donald Trump as well. Ben Sasse comparing Mr. Trump to David Duke, who a lot of people say is a white supremacist. I don't agree with that. Hey, you know what? David Duke has made some mistakes in the past, which he freely admits to. But I don't think the guy's a white supremacist, but he was a Louisiana representative, right? But believe it or not, now the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, has endorsed Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska. Now the president has endorsed Sasse for re-election. Can you believe that? That's a surprise move, they say, that rendered the usually outspoken Nebraska senator mum, hush, whoa. Yeah. That demonstrates, again, how much the Republican Party has become the party of Trump. Ben has my complete and total endorsement, said the president. Ben Sasse is great with our vets, the military, and your very important Second Amendment. He's strong on crime. He's strong on the border. That's the way Donald described Ben. So when he wasn't trashing him for his looks, he describes him as just a tremendous patriot. Now, I agree with Ben Sasse on a lot of things. I don't agree with him on his attacks on Donald. I don't agree with Donald's attacks on Ben Sasse either. I highlight this, though, because this is the disingenuous side of Trump that I got a problem with. So he has no problem with rhetoric about draining the swamp. He likes to claim he's draining the swamp, but the fact is there's more lobbyists in there now than ever. And then now Ben Sasse isn't speaking out against the Donald because, hey, Donald endorsed him and shut him up. So headline says, endorsement from Trump quiets Senator Ben Sasse. Now, for Mr. Sasse, he has a habit of zipping through the Capitol while talking on his cell phone to avoid reporters. It was certainly an awkward moment when Donald endorsed Ben. He was being ridiculed on Twitter after brushing off an NBC report talking about the endorsement. He said, I don't have anything to say to you right now about this. A remark his office later said was not directed to reporters. But his spokesman, James Wegman, did speak up saying the endorsement was unsolicited. And Ben Sasse is grateful for the president's kind words. They don't always see eye to eye, but they built the relationship. Where? Listen to this. They don't always see eye to eye, but they build a relationship where they work together when they agree and they really wrestle spar when they don't. Now, solicitation or not, the fact is Donald's endorsement will ensure a victory for Ben Sasse. But again, if what Donald says about Ben is true, why would he want him there? The answer is because party's more important than people. Party's more important than principle. That's the problem.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So my point is, sadly, party has become more important than principle, right? Politics has become more important than people, okay? Donald Trump and Ben Sasse don't always see eye to eye, but they got a relationship where they work together when they agree. And they wrestle hard when they don't, says the spokesman for Ben Sasse. Now, I understand that. That's actually a good policy. Why don't we agree to agree when we agree? And great. And when we disagree, why don't we wrestle hard and advocate for our positions? I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have with it is that now Ben is quieter because Trump endorsed Ben. Trump did it not really because he likes Ben. Ben's being quiet not because he really likes Donald, but because the party demands it, right? When you get elected, because Donald helped you get elected, you owe allegiance to the Donald. When you are quiet and don't raise your concerns about the president over policy because, you know, I think that the American people are betrayed in that, quote, unholy alliance, if you will. Right? That's the problem with it. Okay, because the party becomes more important than people. And politics becomes more important than principle. I say that both ways on purpose. Because it doesn't matter if it's politics or principle we're talking about. Politics trumps. Party trumps. Principle left behind. And the quid pro quo. I don't know if Donald went and said, hey, Ben, you shut up about me, buddy, and I'll reelect you. I don't know if it was that in your face quid pro quo or not. But I know the effect is the same. Right? I know the effect is the same, and that's the problem I have with this discussion. So Ben Sasse will be quiet now. Well, you say that's not a big deal, Sam. That happens all the time. Come on. Well, you're right. But one of my favorite people that has ever served in government has been, in modern times, Ron Paul. I know a lot of people just say Ron's goofy. I understand all your thoughts. But he was one of the most educated, constitutional, fearless, dedicated to the principles that I've ever known that has served for so long. He isn't perfect, but he's done a stellar job over the years. And, you know, you can say he's kind of goofy, and I agree his delivery could, you know, use some refinement. I understand. But this is a doctor that went into politics because he wanted to make a difference. This is a man who literally has served his countrymen in the military and as a physician and has served the people in Congress. And he had to vote alone oftentimes to make points, to stand for what he believed in. Very lonely world for a guy like Ron Paul in Congress. Out of step with Washington for sure. But even Ron Paul towards the end, we wanted him to endorse Richard Mack running for office in Texas. And Richard Mack was just absolutely befuddled and stymied and miffed when Ron Paul doubled down and endorsed the incumbent, an extremely liberal Republican, instead of Richard Mack, who's Ron Paul's personal friend. And we couldn't understand why that would happen, how that could happen. What on earth would make Ron do that? And believe it or not, we finally got the answer. Ron Paul made a deal with the Republicans, which was this: you help me in my presidential bids, and I will help you by endorsing and voting for incumbents. And it was a, I don't want to say a total quid pro quo deal, because I don't know that I have the facts of a contract or an in writing, or a, but Ron literally said that's how it was. He said, I don't like it, but that's how you have to play the game sometimes to work together. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is politics is a seriously dirty business. Right? A seriously dirty business. Right? And that's what's going on. What a shame it is. So now I don't know if Ben Sasse and Donald Trump are in an unholy alliance. I don't know. You know, I don't know how that all works. But it's very concerning, to say the least. I would encourage Ben Sasse to continue speaking out when he sees things wrong. Don't attack President Trump's individualism. Don't attack him as a son of God or a person. Donald, don't attack Ben for the same reasons. Don't do it. But if you guys do not see eye to eye on principle, you need to stand up. That's what I do. Okay, that's what I do. All right, Larry Klayman. You remember this guy? Klayman is the founder of, in the past, he's the founder of Judicial Watch. Now he's with Freedom Watch. He's a former federal prosecutor and the founder of Judicial Watch and Freedom Watch, right? Well, I don't know if you know, but he is suing Joe Biden. Yeah. And his 2020 campaign. So Klayman lawsuits targets Biden and son in campaign YouTube shutdown. Very interesting case here. The case is now filed in the 15th Circuit, Judicial Circuit in Palm Beach. Seeks damages up to $75,000. Anyway, it has to do with his YouTube channel. Joe Biden agitated to get his YouTube channel taken down. And the complaint explains the suspension is due to criticism by claiming that the Bidens, regarding their apparent Ukrainian bribery scandal. So here's what happened. Larry Klayman spoke out about the bribery scandal, and Joe Biden pushed back and got his accounts closed. So Larry Klayman did a Weekly America radio show, special prosecutor with Larry Klayman, and YouTube neither explicitly denied Klayman's position, which is this pardon of behaviors are problematic by the Bidens. Klayman noted that this Biden campaign official by the name of Kate Beatingfield wrote a threatening letter to the New York Times. Are you truly blind? Anyway, it goes on, but the letter was written in the New York Times, literally threatening Larry Klayman, basically. So he said this is a example of the threats that we're enduring. So Joe Biden literally was able to get YouTube to shut down Larry Klayman's accounts. Consequently, Klayman says he has had his goodwill and reputation damaged by the suspension of the channel based on the false narrative of Joe Biden. Wow, that's crazy, right? And that's concerning. That's really concerning. Well, then, in my opinion, Larry Klayman of Judicial Watch goes a little bit off the rails. Just my opinion, right? But Larry Klayman's right about the abuse of Joe Biden. But then Larry Klayman says he's going to have a citizens grand jury try the case. I'm not a supporter of the citizens grand juries. I'm just not. Why? Because I don't believe they have the root in the proper role of constitutional government. That's just my opinion. And I'm not attacking Larry Klayman. I like a lot of his work, and I think he does a tremendous job. Right? But I'm concerned about this. Wow. Anyway, I don't know where to go with this exactly. except to say that I'm concerned about it because I don't really think these citizen grand juries are the way to go. Larry is starting to flirt on the edge of the law where I think there's concern. And I know a lot of patriots will attack me for this. They'll be like, Sam, come on. This is legitimate. We got to take responsibility into our own hands. We got to have accountability here. But with these citizen grand juries, where do they get their proper authority? I want to say that again. These citizen grand juries, where do they get their proper authority? And that's really a concern for me because I don't want to go off the rails. I want to stand with the proper role of limited constitutional government. I don't want revolution. I want restoration. All right, I got good news to end the hour. How do you like that? Good news to end the hour? How often is that, huh? Looks like 250,000 students huddle in prayer on sports fields nationwide. It motivates, energizes, and rejuvenates and unites, they say. FaithWire brings the story to our attention. Good for them, man. And I like to see this. Because you know what? We need, in sports, role models, folks. But anyway, they say more than 250,000 students. It's just tremendous. I want to see how we can have more of that. Right? I want to see how we can do more of this, especially on the field or with students and children and youngsters and teenagers. How do we encourage them? Support them? Right? I don't know, but I want to do more of it. And I think that's a tremendous story. 250,000 students huddle in prayer on sports fields nationwide. It motivates, energizes, rejuvenates, and unites, according to FaithWire. That's tremendous, man. All right, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. Great, great story to end the hour. So while all these politicians battle about, you know, one side or the other, oftentimes one's right, oftentimes another's right, oftentimes they're both wrong, oftentimes they're... Well, that battle continues to go on. I don't think the political battles are where the solutions in America really even are. I think the solutions are with your God in quiet moments in prayer. I think the solutions are when Americans decide to repent and change and follow God more fully. I think the changes are when families get together and spend quality time with each other, where their love and their memories are built. I think it's in the hard times that couples experience as they raise their children and deal with their careers and the humility that it takes to forgive one another and work together for the betterment of their family and society as a whole. I think that's where the answers are. I think the answers are in the kindness we show to others. When 250,000 students huddle in prayer on the sports field, that's where I believe we start to make true gains in the culture war, because we start to shape hearts and minds. We start to use our sphere of influence for good. We start to find stories that inspire. We start to get on our knees and ask God, what do I do today to bear one another's burdens? What do I do today to bless the lives of those around me? And there's nothing that can stop good, honest, hardworking Americans when they involve themselves in random acts of kindness. When they think of others before themselves. A culture of selflessness as opposed to selfishness. All right, ladies and gentlemen, 2 hours in the can, hard-hitting talk. I hope it has value for you. LibertyRoundtable.com, donate today. I am Sam Bushman, and I declare, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore a grand old republic. Please get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.